Hello, and welcome to the Consistent Profits Podcast, brought to you by Inside Out Trading and Brian McAvoy, where the focus is on consistency, because when you have the consistent part down, the profits become easy. Hello, everyone. This is Brian McAvoy with a new episode of the Consistent Profits Podcast, brought to you by Inside Out Trading. I'm really excited today to be interviewing Etienne Cret, creator of Desire to Trade. Thanks so much for being on the podcast today.
Yeah, pleasure to be here. Looking forward to talk with you and see what to come up with you. So interesting.
Yeah, indeed. Now, so everybody knows, Etienne is a seasoned trading veteran. He looks young, but he's been at this game for a while. And he focuses on Forex, and he travels the world while trading full-time. He's not one who just talks the game. He actually does travel the world and does his thing all over the place, which is pretty cool. His preferred method is swing trading, and his stated goal is to help traders quit their 9-to-5 jobs to help them scale their trading and live on their own terms. Over the last several years, he's interviewed hundreds of other traders on his own podcast, Desire to Trade, where he learns from them and shares lessons with the traders of the world. His site even got listed as one of the best trading blogs here not too long ago, which I thought was really cool. And along with being a great networker and trader, Etienne's just he's a pretty cool guy and very down to earth. Again, thanks for being here.
Yeah, pleasure. Good intro. You got all the fact right, so sounds very good. I appreciate it.
Right. Well, I got to ask you, since you are a traveling trader and you're wanting to help others, live that life, which most people haven't yet, what's it like being a traveling trader? As far as managing your time and the change in time zones and that kind of stuff.
I'd say it's a pretty fun thing. Like, I wouldn't do things any other way. I think traveling and trading is one of the best things I've done and the things I'm really the most happy about. It kind of gives me energy a lot. But it kind of brings some challenges to trading, which is, like you said, the time zone. You cannot just like trade 8 hours a day if you travel. You've got to limit your hours of trading. You got to kind of simplify things a little bit and hopefully automate also a few things. So for me, it's all about kind of having a similar routine every day. So I check the charts usually a couple times a day because I swing trade. And if I can fit this to my schedule, if I'm on a plane, of course, I won't do it. But if I'm in a place where I can check the charts, I'll do it. And I have other ways like automations, algos to help me manage my trading and kind of make things more efficient. So, yeah, it's just a lot of fun because you can be in like different places all you want and like trade at the same time and still make your living, but travel the world. But it brings some challenges and some things to be aware of and kind of work on. We can talk about those more if you want.
Sure. Well, where are you right now?
I'm in Bangkok in Thailand. I've been here for a few weeks now. I was in Vietnam last month for a couple of weeks in Cambodia as well.
Wow. So how do you wind up choosing that area to be in for this time of year?
Well, so I've got an apartment in Bangkok now. For me, this was a place that I kind of came to before COVID to be able to travel mostly around Asia. So I got this like nice apartment here. And then COVID hit, so I couldn't really travel too much outside of Bangkok. I stayed in Thailand for the past 2 years. Went out a few times in the past 2 years, went to Canada, went to other countries around. And now I'm kind of getting back to traveling more and more this year. With COVID being pretty much over, it's kind of a good place to be to be able to travel around and see other countries around Asia.
Huh, very cool. So as far as, the jet lag and everything, when you travel, are you like making significant time zone changes or, is it not too bad? Just, a couple hours.
Yeah, I could make big changes, but I won't do it also often. It's going to happen maybe every 3 months or so where I'll go less between Asia and Canada, for example. I'm not doing this every week for sure, because that would be way too draining and like hard on the routine.
Yeah. Hard on the body. Very cool. Well, since you do, you're not just, traveling around Canada or whatever, you're actually, spanning the globe and you're trading Forex. So do you ever change what you're trading to, like, as far as, which exchange you're working off of, like Hong Kong versus London versus, the US, or do you stick with the same time frame for your trading hours?
Yeah, for me, it's always the same. It's the forward chart and the 1 hour charts that I trade. So these are very easy to trade in like any kind of time zone you could be in. The sessions might vary a little bit, but that to me doesn't matter too much. Most of my trades still happen during like the London session and the New York session. Asia is definitely more quiet, which is like now my morning here. So I don't take too many trades there, but they happen more like in the afternoon here, mostly in the evening. And then I have an algo who takes trades basically when I'm asleep at night. So I don't have to worry too much about that time zone. So yeah, it doesn't really matter. I follow the same time frames and kind of look at them whenever I can. Ideally, a couple of times a day to kind of spot itself correctly. But yeah, that's the routine I follow.
Okay. Well, you being kind of a busy guy, I mean, you know, because you're traveling, you're running your own podcast and YouTube channel, plus, you know, you got your business, Desire to Trade, where you're coaching others. How do you manage your time and still have a life?
That's a very good question. So first things first is I don't do everything myself. I have a big team behind, well, not so big team, but at least a good team behind my company who can help me to manage other stuff. So for me, recording videos take about like an hour a week, maybe an hour and a half with the plans and everything. I have a team to edit these videos, post them on YouTube, and everything is done after. The podcast take, yeah, like a few hours a week sometimes, but that's about it. Then it's really kind of trading for me is a way to, I try to keep it more hands off, where I take trades when I need to take trades, then I'm away when I don't have to do anything on the side. So I don't micromanage my trades. I don't tend to like review them or like change different things in my trade. That makes it a lot easier. And I have a set of goals to help me kind of take trades when I'm not at the chart and kind of make things more efficient. So overall, it's all about kind of like not doing everything. You cannot just like do all the stuff and like expect to have time. I do things I need to be doing, and the other stuff is kind of delegated or not, just not done at all if it's not useful for me.
Okay. Oh, all right. That makes sense. Yeah, and having some hands to help take care of matters, because I know from personal experience, as far as, you know, of course, running a business and the podcast, and you've also published quite a few, you know, YouTube videos. That, all that stuff takes time. A lot of people don't appreciate the amount of work that can go into doing stuff like this. So yeah, it's cool that you got a good team backing you up there. Now, one thing I did want to ask you about, you know, in the last few years, prop trading has become real popular, and you know, there are prop firms all over the place. And I mean, you've even got your own funded trading, but you know, what do you like about this as far as, you know, prop firms where, you know, people can get into trading and they don't even need the capital now to really get started. They can trade with the prop firms accounts. You know, what is it you like about that? And what should a person be looking for in a firm that they decide to work with?
Yeah, to me, prop firms is a good way to kind of scale up your trading faster to go full time. Back a few years ago, maybe like a decade ago, so you had to kind of gather your own capital to put in your account and trade with to be able to go full time. And that can take some multiple years for some people. Mm-hmm. The way I kind of went full time myself and I kind of speed up my process was getting capital from private investors back in Canada. So it was like a private investor, nothing too big for sure, but kind of helped me to kickstart things and kind of make some profits in the account. I would share the profit, I'll get some part of the profit, reinvest in my own account after and kind of move forward. So prop firms these days are similar to that. Now, there are some challenges. There are some prop firms that are not so good, some prop firms that are better. In terms of like picking the right prop firm, I was just trying to stay away from the ones that have a very tight or like limited evaluation. So a lot of these prop firms out there, they have like a 30-day challenge or 30-day evaluation, mm-hmm. which in 30 days is really hard to kind of get the target. So yes, you could be lucky. You could take some more risk, but it doesn't really encourage any trader to kind of be risk averse, or at least protect their risk, or like have decent rules out there to kind of make sure they don't blow the account, and encourage traders to take more risk, pass a challenge, but then they kind of increase the drawdown as well on that account. So the way you pass a challenge like this is different than the way you're going to trade after the challenge, and people don't really realize that too much. So then they blow up the account or lose the funding after. So if you take a prop firm that has no limit, or at least encourage like good trading habits, like good trading rules, then it makes a lot more sense.
Okay. Now, you said 30 days is kind of short. So what would you recommend as far as a reasonable evaluation period? I mean, what do you think is reasonable for that?
I think as long as you can. So our accounts, we don't have any time limits. You can take as long as you want to do it. You can take 6 months, a year if you want to. It doesn't matter. We don't pressure on a trader. It doesn't work too well for them. It's never going to be a good thing to put pressure on someone to perform or like pass a challenge. Some platforms have 6 months. I've seen others with 3 months. I've seen 2 months. It really depends. Like also your trading style. If you're day trading or like scalping, is different than if you're a long-term trader. So you might want to kind of pick something depending on your style, how many trades a month you take, and what makes sense for you, for your mindset also.
Okay. So what are you looking for when you say evaluate a trader? What are you looking for? What are the specific things that you look for as far as, you know, what you consider, successful trading, or, you know, somebody who's doing the right things and they're heading the right direction? What are the things that you look at?
Yeah, so the main thing is we don't want to give capital to people who would be losing it after, especially live capital. So they begin the evaluation on a demo account. they have to prove off they have to prove us they can do at least 10% on this account without losing more than 5% of the account. So it's like a 2-to-1. Of course, you can manage your risk size to kind of fit in those criteria, no matter how much you risk or how much you expect to gain. So if you can make 10%, not lose more than 5 in any given period, then to us, it shows us you can trade at least profitable or somewhat well. We've got some rules around, like you got to place at least a trade every 30 days, rules around like the drawdown you can reach also when you kind of hit your target. But overall, it's pretty much just that. Just being able to hit a target by keeping the risk low is what we were kind of looking for there.
Okay. That makes sense. Now, as far as helping to instill the habits so that, once they're done with the evaluation period, how do you go about it as far as helping the traders develop those right habits, and how do you know if they're keeping on track?
Well, we don't know. The only way to know is kind of like with the P&L and the things we do. We try to keep in touch with our traders who are funded. Okay. We kind of chat with them sometimes. We might have calls with them. We're going to support them along the way because, you know, trading is, first of all, lonely sometimes, and it can be tough to maintain the same stuff you've done for a long time. So we are there to support them, help them along the way. But it's also a thing where they're free to trade like whatever they want. They don't have to like reach target every time, so they don't have to like have the pressure to reach a certain target when they're funded. They can do whatever they want. They can take their time. They can reduce risk. We usually ask them to reduce the risk as much as they can to be comfortable with it and just kind of go with that. So it's really about kind of making what they've done and kind of staying on track with the same habits.
Now, as far as the people coming to you, are you finding that most of them are fairly new traders or traders who've been at it for a while and just really haven't been able to get things turned around on their own? And so they're coming to you for the, kind of the help with that and working in the funded account.
Since my YouTube channel has grown a bit more in the past few years, I feel like it's a lot more of beginning traders coming in, especially the bigger audience, more newbies apparently, which is not a bad thing. It's people who want to get the right habits from the start. They want to build the right skills from the beginning, which is a good thing. But there's also a big portion of people who have been training for a while and want to get kind of profitable. They are looking for what they're missing, what they've been trying to learn but didn't work for them. And it's kind of a mix of both, but a lot of beginners, a lot of intermediate, a few advanced, but not too many overall.
Okay. Well, one thing I got to ask you is because I find it funny and not to bash Reddit, but it kills me how many traders, especially it seems like some of the younger people that I've talked to lately who are, you know, want to get into trading, they're trying to learn how to trade over here on Reddit and, you know, with Cash App. And I'm looking at what they're doing and their mentality, and it's like, oh my God. So if you got somebody that comes to you and they're saying, yeah, you know, I'm all in on, GameStop and Robinhood and the whole nine, and they're spouting all that kind of stuff. How would you kind of respond to that if they're wanting to come on board with you, if that's been their background and experience so far?
You know, I find that these kinds of people don't like to buy courses or don't like to educate themselves because they know they can do it easily, or they feel they can do it easily by their own, with themselves only, so they don't really need a course for that. But I think everyone needs kind of, in training, everyone needs to go through a certain learning curve, and that goes with like, you feel good about your training first, you feel really confident, then you lose some money, then you kind of lose your confidence, then you got to go back and rebuild it after. So these guys are just maybe in the beginning of their learning curve. They have to kind of feel the pain of the market, then get back and learn the right stuff. So there's always a time for everyone to kind of learn and kind of become better at trading. Might not be the time for the guys who are looking to like make big gains, like looking to get rich with cryptos or these kinds of things. So it's just about a certain time frame to go for.
Okay, fair enough. I had to ask because I've been in that situation a few times where I got somebody in there. Oh man, I mean, they're just all excited and they're all amped up. And you help traders, yeah, because you know. And I'm like, oh my God.
But these are the people that might drop off from the course eventually too. So you want to make sure if you get people in the program that you help them with, like you help them with something or whatever, they work with you. You want people who get results because that's good for your marketing, of course, good for your image. It's important. So you don't want them to drop off after a month and like be done with it and move to like a different market, a different thing that they're looking for now.
True. Now with your funded accounts, are you, do you have everybody restricted to Forex or do you trade the other arenas as well?
With the broker we work with now, which is ACAP, we have everything we have available on the broker. So MT4 or MT5. That includes in MT5, you have Forex, of course, you have commodities, you have index, you've got a few stocks now and a few cryptos as well.
Okay, cool. Now, kind of shifting gears here a little bit. With AI being like the big buzz this year, and so many in the business world looking to take advantage of AI and the different tools that are there. How do you see AI, affecting trading and some of the stuff that's going on in the AI world, as far as when it comes to trading and for individual traders, what do you see on the horizon for that?
Yeah, it's a fun question. I think it can get far, far more advanced than it is now, for sure. That's definitely a possibility. I think now it's way too early to do anything with trading. AI is good. From what I've tested, of course, I'm not an expert in AI or anything of the sort. But from what I've tested, it's good to get answers to like questions you have or issues you have. But it's not going to replace your whole like trading job or anything. It's not going to create your strategy by itself. I think you still got to put in the work. And I think you still got to maybe use it, like learn how to use AI to see what it can do. But don't get too happy because the AI can create strategies or whatever for trading and get you profitable. That's not going to happen very, very soon. I don't think so.
Okay. I've been curious about it myself, just because robots came around several years ago, mm-hmm. and we're all the rage for quite a while, and they've got their place for sure. Expert advisors, robots, whatever you want to call them, but. With the new AI where it actually is, learning software. I'm kind of curious to see where that's going to go. I mean, we got other stuff going on. It kills me how this whole trading universe, it just continues to evolve over the last like 20 years, going from phone call based, trading where you had to call a broker and place your trades and that kind of stuff. And actually, people down on the pit floors and a lot of it's all automated, moved to the offline or the online world. We've got and now AI, but we've got other stuff potentially coming. Have you given any thought or what do you think about as far as the government's lately talking about changing the financial systems, like going to digital coins and stuff like that? You got any thoughts on that as far as how it might affect like particularly the foreign exchange markets?
I think that might be interesting for Forex. So that might be a good change. Maybe more volatility, more people coming in to trade, at least be interested in the digital currencies. Could be interesting to see. I'm not sure how soon it's going to happen. I think it will take a lot of time. But yeah, something to maybe monitor or keep an eye on for sure.
Do you see the cryptocurrencies actually ever getting like merged into the foreign exchange markets as they exist now? Because right now they're kind of standalone. Do you ever see the merge of the two?
I think that would be a stretch. Now we have many, many brokers, like Forex brokers, who have cryptos as a thing you can trade on the platform. But as far as saying that these will be merged with Forex, I think that's going to take a long time. The government's still not ready to, I think, give in and like have this available for everyone everywhere else. I think it's also limited in terms of like not everyone's going to buy crypto because it's tough to buy. It's a complicated process. I cannot imagine the aunt or like the grandma's buying cryptos anytime soon. So I think it will take a long time before this gets next to real currencies.
Okay. We'll see. Yeah, it's going to take more than just a subtle shift. Although I am still curious, just because Bitcoin. I mean, Bitcoin's been around for a while, over 10 years. Mm. But with the other currencies, and particularly blockchain technology, and how some of these other currencies operate. I think it's going to be interesting, especially with the decentralization. Do you see decentralization affecting the foreign exchange markets, or do you think they're still always going to be pretty well grounded with the exchanges as they are now?
Well, Forex is already sort of decentralized anyway. It's not just one place. So it's kind of similar in some ways to crypto. Each broker have like their own exchange and stuff, and that could be kind of similarity there. But I think it's going to stay pretty much the same. I don't think it's going to be any different.
Okay. Cool. Okay. Well, kind of switching things more back to the here and now. One thing, it's always kind of a fun thing. Well, and also, again, when traders come to you for their funded account, do you have any recommendations or requirements with them as far as being discretionary versus a mechanical trader? And what are your thoughts on that?
I think those are possible. I think it's more like a personality thing. So I'm very much more systematic. I have a bit of discussion in some of my trading, but very little. And to me, that's what works best for me because I'm very analytical. I like to look at things in a very clear manner and objective manner. Some people are different. Some people like their discretionary. I think we should not kind of say we're discretionary traders just because we're new and we don't want to have a strategy that's fixed. We want to have flexibility. I think that's a bad way to do it. But if you know your discretionary has an edge and helps you to make better decisions, then yeah, why not? It's totally fine to trade that way. No requirement there. Yeah, as long as you're actually getting something out of it being discretionary and not just systematic, basically.
Okay, fair enough. Well, the other one that's always kind of I find it interesting to get a person's take on it. So, as far as which do you feel is more important that a person focus on, system or psychology, and why do you feel that way?
I love that one. It's definitely a fun question because people are always looking for like that the one answer, that one thing to work on, that one thing that will change everything. But training is it doesn't work that way. Many things in life don't work that way. You got to have a multiple series of things to be able to get good results. So can you just focus on psychology? No. Can you just focus on strategy? No, probably not. But if you put both things together, then that's where you get results. So I'd say it's a matter of like finding out which one's your worst at and working on that thing first. And then you kind of go and work on the other stuff. So if you see a need for strategy, then work on strategy first. But then as you see, you don't get good results with the strategy for any reason, then work on that mindset. So yeah, both you got to focus on. It's just a matter of which one when, depending on what you need. And yeah, both things need to be in place to have good results in trading.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, that one's always, I just like that, asking that question, because sometimes the debates get a little heated about it.
Yeah.
Now, again, kind of more back to the here and now. So I know one of your videos that you did not too long ago, you were talking about the five elements for successful trading. And I thought that was an excellent video, but one that, if you don't mind expanding on it a little bit, I really liked it was, you said, you know, number five is like the most important one. And you were talking about having an implementation plan, which I thought was really cool. And I haven't heard it really expressed anywhere else the way you did. You mind sharing your thoughts on that for our listeners today? Because again, I think it was really worthwhile what you had to say with that as far as having an implementation plan.
Yeah, I'm not sure that was about like going live with your strategy, or was it about kind of improving on your mistakes? I'm not sure which one that was, but the key point here is most people have like, they have a strategy and then if they're doing something else, they'll go like search on YouTube and stuff, but they never have a plan on how they're going to implement it to go to the live account. So sure, yeah, you could go have like pick a strategy, go live with it and trade it, but then the results probably won't be as good as if you just like go progressively step by step. So what I like to have people with, like, they go through, first they get the strategy, then they backtest it. And backtesting is not to kind of like be too fancy about the stats and the trades. It's more to get an idea of like what the stats look like. And can you actually kind of spot the trades in the past data for that strategy you have? And then they go demo after that. So they kind of take a step back, then they go and trade for a while. They see, can you take these trades live in the market? And some strategies that I've kind of used in the past, or I've actually tried, the results in the, I just couldn't take the trading demo. It was too hard to figure out because it was like either Fibonacci or some tools I didn't understand too well. And taking these trades demo didn't work out too well for me. So then I dropped it there. So then once you've been demo for a while, the results are decent, then you can go live. Then you kind of make a plan to how you're going to grow this account. Because yeah, sure, you can start with like $1,000 account, but then how are you going to grow that account? You expect or hope one day you have some money dropping on your account and making you like $50,000? Probably not. So finding a way to grow that account over time, either by like having a plan where you're going to save X amount of money from your job to put in your account, or you're going to get investors for this amount of money by this date to then work on growing that account. So having a plan of this way, how you're going to grow, how you're going to get to your goals, is definitely better than having no plan, expecting things to work out well, and just trading on like your account, expecting it to grow really fast in the future. I found that most traders who go full time don't do it because they grow the account from 1,000 to 10,000 or 50,000 or 100,000 beyond. They do it because they have a plan to put money in their account faster, and they do it as the strategy works well and they're profitable with it. They add more and more capital to the account over time. Not all big chunks, like all at once, but over time, small amounts to make it where they get comfortable with it. Then they can trade bigger amounts of money and then go full time eventually with it. So that's kind of the point of the implementation plan overall.
Yeah, excellent. That actually is really good. And like I said, I haven't heard that discussed hardly really anywhere else where you had brought it up. So yeah, thank you for that. That was good advice for sure. Now, I mean, this being the Consistent Profits podcast, I have to ask, what do you see as the primary obstacles or mistakes that traders make that keep them from realizing consistent profits?
I say the biggest thing is not tracking anything, or like taking trades and more trades, but then not kind of seeing what these trades are like. So you might feel like you take trades and you have more losses than you win, but that doesn't really tell us anything about your consistency. So if you track your trades, you know which trades to take, you know which trades are good trades, which trades are bad trades, not just based on the P&L, but based on how good you follow your plan. I think that's a big step people miss. So what I do is I kind of track my trades into different categories. I look at the good trades and bad trades, then they're either winning or losing in all three categories. So that gives me a list of like the trades I've done mistakes on because I didn't follow my plan. Whether they made money or lost money. I know if I get like really stupid trade, but I make money on it. If I do it again and over and over again, I'll probably lose money more in the future. So I don't want to kind of be making mistakes again of that bad trade I took and then made money, but I'll lose in the future. So for me, it's all about kind of understanding what I trade and what these trades are like. Are they good trades, bad trades? Do they follow my plan or not? And based on that, I make decisions to cut things, cut the mistakes I make, and kind of reviewing it to figure out how to get better from there. So I think that's something people don't do because it's hard, takes a bit of time, and it takes like some self-analysis. And you have to be honest with yourself because then you see your losses. You see the trades you've taken that were stupid, or you didn't follow your plan, or you made a small mistake on. So you've got to be honest with yourself and just go through it and do it.
Oh yeah. Being honest with yourself definitely key. And can be challenging for traders sometimes. I know
Yeah,
that given
for
many
sure.
times I've wrestled with the same thing. Things aren't going that well. And it's like, no, everything's fine. So
Well, then the thing is, like, when things are going well, then you want to keep that journal again, because some people are going to drop that journal when things go well, because they feel, oh, I don't need this thing anymore. It's not needed. I'm good now. I'm profitable. So forget the journal, and I'll just leave it there. So it has to be a habit of doing it when you feel good, when things are really well, and when things are not going well at all. Also, like both sides.
yeah, true. Cool. Now, of course, everybody wants to be, a successful trader. But in your opinion, how would you say a person can know that they've made it as far as, like I said, from your perspective, how would you say a person know can say, yeah, I've made it as a trader?
I don't think you ever feel like you've made it like forever. I think you always feel like, personally, I always feel like I still have things to work on. And yes, I have some profits like most months, but I always have things to kind of work on and develop. I think if you feel like you've made it, you're like on top of the world, that's probably a sign of like something bad coming. So it's all about like small steps. So maybe first thing, you have your first profitable month. For me, that was a very big win in the beginning of my first month of profitable trading. Then you've got your maybe first 3 months, first 6 months. Then 6 months, like a year and so on, then you can start to think that you've done things right. But then it's about how can you do this the second year, same thing. Can you actually replicate this next year? If you can do that, then you're pretty much good to go. I think you've been doing something that most people were not able to do before, which is like 2 years of profitability. Of course, everyone between is going to be ups and downs, going to be things that you have to go through. People don't expect that when they get profitable, they still have ups and downs and like things to go through and like tough times. They expect things to be all fine and good and like big from there and everything, but that's not how it works so well. So I think you never feel like you made it, but all these steps you go through kind of help build the confidence and help you kind of get back into then feeling like you've probably made it. But it's definitely hard to answer.
Yeah, no, that's a good answer, good perspective. I've gotten some different ones. Probably my favorite it was one where I was talking with this one gal, and because she was saying that she got to where she'd been profitable for several months, and but she was still nervous going to the markets every day. And when I talked with her a few months later, and we're kind of revisiting the topic. She goes, yeah, here's the cool thing. She goes, I'm not necessarily profitable every week, but I'm comfortable now going to the markets. I'm not anxious all the time now. And for her, that was kind of the milestone that she'd been looking for, is where she has the confidence to go to the markets and know that she'll be okay. And it's like, that's a really cool perspective on it. So but I like yours because it's true. You can't really get to the point where you get overconfident and say, yeah, I've got it, and stop pursuing growth. So yeah, good perspective you got there. Well, so Now, when somebody comes and they come to you and they want to work with you, what's it like as far as the process when you know they're coming on board with you and as they're developing either in your funded account or with your training, either one will take your pick. What's it like when somebody comes to work with you?
So I'm a big believer in supporting people, like giving them enough support for them to succeed. Personally, all the training courses I bought in the past, I've had a really tough time with because I didn't have enough support with. So I make sure whenever I get whenever I need help with some training aspect, I'll get some coaching, either through like a training psychologist, like a coach, someone to guide me like one-on-one. That's what works best for me. So I want to be able to like provide this for other people as well. So most of my programs, almost all the programs include one-on-one support. They include a lot of like coaching and like getting on calls together. I think that's a way to kind of get a lot better because people won't have any kind of talk or conversation with other traders. They do everything on their own. They want to have some help to kind of like break through and get results. So I feel like the support one-on-one or like either on calls helps with that. So I want to make sure I include plenty of that with my programs. And then we kind of look at where they are at, whether they have a strategy or not, what their personality is like. I like to first thing first is like give them a personality test to complete. Then we can figure out what kind of trader they're more of. Are they like more a swing trader, a day trader, a scalper? Are they more discretionary or systematic based on that personality test? And then we can kind of like adapt this to them. So it's important for me to not just copy strategies, but have something that works for them, that's personalized to them. And then we can kind of work on it together and get results with it.
Excellent. Yeah, very cool. Well, Etienne, thank you so much for taking the time today for this. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's really cool what you got going on, and I know you're a busy guy, but even with the team and everything, you still got a pretty full life. So, Etienne, thanks for sharing all that you have today. It's very worthwhile. I love your perspectives, and I think they're very helpful. Definitely got some new perspectives today, which is cool. And for everybody listening, if any of what Etienne was sharing with you resonates with you, definitely go ahead and reach out to him over at Desire to Trade, and so you can realize the benefits of his help. One of the main things that I've learned in my own journey and with the traders that I've worked with, if you're going to try to do it all by yourself, that's really the hard and expensive road, and usually with a much lower percentage of success. If you really are serious about making it as a trader, get good help, because if you're going by yourself, you're your own limitation. You don't know what you don't know, and you can't see what you can't see. And so the outside perspective from somebody like Etienne can be invaluable as far as helping shortcut that learning curve and getting on with where you want to be. And so, like I said, what he shared with you and his personality and everything, if it resonates with you, yeah, go ahead and reach out to him and get the help. You'll be glad that you did. Now, again, Etienne, thanks for being here today and taking the time out of your day for this. I appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure as always. Good to answer your questions and good to catch up and see how you're doing.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. Well, everyone, thanks again for coming, and I hope this has been helpful, and we'll see you on the next episode of the Consistent Profits Podcast. Cheers. Thank you for joining us today on the Consistent Profits Podcast, brought to you by Inside Out Trading. If you enjoyed the show, make sure to subscribe on your favorite channel, and we'll see you on the next episode. Cheers.